Hello, cyclocross friends, and thanks for tuning in to episode 192 of Cyclocross Radio. Coming up on 200. It's going to be here before we even know it. On today's show, it's the media pit. No guest, just myself, Zach, and Michael. And this one is kind of, it's the reckoning. We're just talking about how the state of things as they are right now. It's all of the stuff I think we've been holding back on talking about, just letting it all out and having a conversation. I think it's worthwhile listening to. Thanks for tuning in. And we will get right to it as soon as I tell you just about the wide angle podium and all the cool stuff we're doing over there. There's a really easy way for you to get updates on the wide angle podium. You can subscribe to our newsletter. I promise you it only comes once a month, but it's an update on all of the shows, all of the different content that we have out there. If you go to wideanglepodium.com/email, you can sign up for it there. Also, check out the Wide Angle Podium YouTube channel. We have made a big push to get new content up there. We've moved some of the rough draft episodes over there. We're going to have more coming out on that. But also, we have Little Guy from the Slow Rides new series that is little previews, big races. Definitely worth checking out. We got a game show. I think that's going to be up there soon, maybe next week. Regardless, really exciting stuff. We want you to not miss out on any of it. So what I'm really asking for you to do is go to youtube.com/wideanglepodium and subscribe. If you subscribe to the channel, it allows us to do a lot more with that platform. We have to hit certain benchmarks for YouTube to allow us to monetize and do all this other stuff on the platform, and we need your help to do that. By subscribing, it won't spam you, won't send you any notifications. You can do that if you want, but by default, it's not going to do that. So all we're asking for is if you are already have a YouTube profile, that you just hit the subscribe button on the Wide Angle Podium channel, and then we can go off like gangbusters from there. Okay, this is the media pit. We got Michael and Zach. We're talking about it all, and we're doing that right now. We are back in the pit, and the rules of this show, which we have just determined that this is the whatever goes. We've done a lot of shows where we're like, okay, let's just, you know, we don't want to dwell on the season being canceled. We don't want to dwell on all the bad stuff that might happen. This is our, we all have permission to dwell. That is this episode.
Dwell.
We're dwelling.
Episode one.
Well, Bill, I want to point out, I mean, this is a crossover, but you and I are supposed to actually would have today been getting ready to come back from Iceland from the Rift gravel race, which was this weekend, which just to me kind of hammered home. I mean, I know that was something I was looking forward to, but just hammered home personally for me, kind of what we've sacrificed or had to sacrifice.
Yeah.
This pandemic.
Doubly for us here, because my wife was going to go with me, and this is like we don't do that a lot where she actually comes along on this trip, so she was like super stoked for it and had taken the time off work and has actually just kind of like been at home doing stuff around the house because she couldn't like change her schedule back, so she had these days off, which just reinforced the suck of it all that we didn't get to go.
Yeah, well, and I was also thinking, I mean, for those of us who race, I mean, it's July 26th when we're recording this. I mean, we're coming up on like a couple of weeks from like cross practice ostensibly would have been starting.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
this is shit's getting real.
I mean, right now we would have been talking about Vanderpool winning like 5 stages of the tour, the big battle of Wout and Vanderpool at La Tour. Cross practice starts as soon as the tour is over. I was just thinking that, you know, it's almost the end of July, and, you know, in September, I'm going to be, you know, we would have been hanging out in Madison and Iowa City, you know, getting the group back together. So it's a strange, like, time that we're in. And, like, it's been interesting. Like, I feel like we all kind of took a pause for a while. And the media pit is coming back. You know, we've had some guests, and it's been really good to just be on the show and listen to people as opposed to sort of like, you know, spouting my opinions. And I really have taken this time. Like, I don't know that there's like things like I need to say yet, or like I'm really trying to like take in what's happening in this world. And I really have actually struggled with the idea of like sport happening now. And like, you know, if sport's happening, like I want to talk about it. Like, I really enjoy sports, but it like, in the situation we're in with the coronavirus, with the unrest in our cities, you know, the federal occupation of these cities, and like there's some like major things happening that are pretty, you know, very historic. And like yesterday or this weekend, the Major League Baseball had their opening day. And it's so this like this crazy like, for me, this like conflict trying to like come to some sort of like personal like understanding of like how do you exist in this moment, and how do you talk about sport, and like is it moral to have sport right now? Do we actually deserve to have these events? And I don't know, man. I don't know that I have an answer to that. But I'm glad to like be back with you guys in this moment, sort of like, you know, recognizing what's going on, but also realizing that we are moving forward in a pretty interesting time, and who knows what's going to happen, but like, let's look at it. Let's take stock of where we're at with the crosses and what's happening and how we're moving forward. I don't know. Sorry for that long monologue.
No, I think you make a good point. You know, I think that Bill made an excellent point when we kind of, put the rough draft on hiatus after 7 episodes or whatever. And we had said, well, you know, sports is a diversion. And for a lot of us, it is that. And I think Bill made the excellent point that really this whole summer, this whole last, how many months are we on now? 4 months now, has kind of required your full attention.
Right.
And I don't know. I tuned into, you know, I was watching some baseball with my dad yesterday, actually. And it was just like, why are they doing this? You know, like ostensibly, I'm not a big baseball fan, but like sports, we should be excited. And I'm just like, what are they doing? You know, with the empty stands, and like, why are they playing 60 game seasons? And I don't know.
Is it possible to break it down into kind of levels of sport that we're talking about? I mean, before we came on, we were talking about the NBA a little bit, and you know, the bubble, and they've had I guess their last round of tests for players is like 300 plus players, 0 positive tests. Everybody's COVID free as long as they stay out of the gentlemen's clubs. They'll
don't get wings at the strip club.
I was hoping that you were going to mention Lou Williams here.
But they should be good to go. But there you look at that, and we're talking about, you know, it's like all of these interchanging things. Yes, it is. In one sense, it's sort of folly, but on the other sense, we're also talking about this huge amount of unemployment and what's happening with the economy, and just the dire consequences that are going to come from everything that we're experiencing right now. And you look at something like the NBA, which is this multi-billion dollar business. It's a business that they figured out a way to continue their business. So, and in doing that, it means that their collective bargaining agreement then is not ripped up next year, that they will continue going forward and not put their whole business in disarray where they may not even play a season next year. I mean, there's so many, and this is on top of like health and everything is very important, but at the same time, at that level and with those resources, they were able to do it. And that there still is that cognitive dissonance, like you're saying, Zach, is like, well, why are we even doing this? Should we even be enjoying this? And that I don't know, but that they are trying to do it on some sense, I kind of get. Now, if you are a Cat 3 racer that feels like he just needs to go out and do a race, I think that's a completely different story. And we can even get into like cycling and cyclocross and the environment that's in and the amount of resources versus these bigger sports, if it's even doable or possible. But I kind of see how, at least on that level, and especially with something like the NBA, which is the smallest number wise of these sports, that I think they've kind of done it.
I think that's a good way of frame. That's an excellent way of framing of what we want to talk about, right? Because we have some different levels of cross that I think we're going to talk about. We're going to be talking about UCI racing in the US, which is not a business. UCI racing in Europe, which Galazzo, Flanders Classics is a business. So, you know, and then we're going to be talking about amateur racing, which not a business. More of a privilege for us, you know? So maybe that's a good way, Bill, of framing kind of what we want to talk about and, you know, to get into cycling, cyclocross in particular.
Well, I think it's just to bring it back to the NBA and the MLB, it is interesting to see the things that they've done. And it's part of the reason I tuned into the baseball game is just to see what's it like in this, our new sort of reality. Like, what is the sport like? You know, they have piped in fan noise to the stadiums. They have no fans there at all, but they have cardboard cutouts of fans. And then, like, Fox is doing, like, CGI. They're putting fans in the wide shots. But it's kind of funny because they're not filling the stands. So it almost, like, directly correlates to, like, cyclocross, like, where you could just do that, like, fairly easily. Just, like, put a few people there. Also, the cardboard cutouts, like, also, like, just ports directly over to cyclocross immediately. So I think maybe the UCI, the Europe, could, like, really just embrace this bubble concept. And I think it was, like, Spencer who was talking about, like, doing cross all in one region in the United States. But let's just do that, you know, over in Europe, because maybe things are a little bit better there with the cases. And we can have no fans and we can have cardboard cutouts. You know, you can pay, your supporter club can pay to have your fans put up on the tape. We'll CGI a few drunk Belgians and, you know, keep everybody safe. Just got to do coke side it, you know, 12 times.
I was going to say, which course would you pick as your bubble?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, we already know that the Belgians don't like to travel. And then even within the regions, you know, the north versus south versus east versus west, you know, they all want to stay in their own little regions as well. So I will say that I think the one, you know, we're looking at social distancing and staying within your families and that thing. And that's the one thing that I think cyclocross has going for it. Because if you think of every team is really just single rider base, they all have their own crews. They're usually like dad, mom, uncle, and cousin. They're probably all, like, you know, if not living together, next door neighbors. So they're already, like, you know, self-isolating together, and they're just coming together for these races. So all you have to do is take the pits and make them, what, like, twice as big, so you can have, like, at least one or two stalls between. You're gonna have to invest in a lot more you know, the classic fights for the pressure washer. You know, you're going to have, like, everybody's going to have their own individual pressure washer. So, you know, dads aren't fighting over them for who's supposed to be in line where. And, you know, everybody masked up, because it's very important to wear masks. And we want to make sure that everybody is wearing masks.
Speaking of masks, and this goes back to road racing in general. And this, the whole concept of, like, you know, this weekend there was an amateur road race in Georgia. It was second weekend in Omnium, Tour of North Georgia. You had a YouTuber out of California flown to the race by his bike sponsor. First time that I've seen that, but I guess on one hand, I don't knock the hustle, but on the other hand, the sponsor sending someone across the country to race in an area that's hit pretty hard by coronavirus is pretty suspect. But so here's the thing. I read these guidelines for this race. I'm looking at guidelines for other races. It's like, you're wearing a mask the entire time you're walking around, you know, number pickup, you know, anywhere you're wearing a mask. But then when you start racing, you take the mask off. So to me, there's a certain disconnect. So, like, are we saying, A, you cannot catch the coronavirus while you're riding your bike, or B, that the risk of you catching it while riding your bike next to someone in the peloton, in you know, at the start line, is so low that that's the risk we are taking for the sport to continue? And so that's what, like, I've really haven't seen a definitive statement from USAC or the UCI, and maybe they've said something I haven't read. But I mean, what, how are you guys interpreting that with the mask on and then off as soon as the whistle goes?
This is the part, and this is where I think we got in a little trouble last time when we were discussing masks with Becca, is that that's the part that I just don't get. It makes zero sense to me, and I think what Zach's point was with the one official wearing a mask and nobody else is that it's kind of performative. And if that's one where I understand. Like, if you're going to have officials, have them in masks. The people that I'm most concerned about are the volunteers and the people at registration and everything else who aren't even racing. Like, they should, yeah. We should be taking extra special precautions if we're even going to race, which I don't think we should be. But the bullshit about, you know, having like social distancing and staging and then take off your mask and you're all racing in a pack and then the winners like get on a social distance podium where they're 6 feet apart and all wearing masks again. It's just ridiculous. I don't get the point. I don't see it. And I'm not saying you shouldn't be wearing masks. I'm saying that everybody should. And we shouldn't be doing this. If we feel like there's a point in this process where you still need to be wearing a mask, then you shouldn't be in a tight peloton in a crit racing together. That just doesn't seem to make sense to me, especially for those stakes. Again, it's not a bubble situation. It's not 100% right. Controlled parameters. You don't know where the person racing next to you was an hour ago.
They could have been in California, and they could have been flying across the country. I guess, you know, if you look at cyclocross, it seems little bit less like, you know, you're as not as tight in the peloton, and maybe there's, you know, there was a race in Pennsylvania where folks are racing in masks. So like, if we want to talk about cross in the States and the UCI calendar is pretty much, I'd say right as of right now, Bill, I looked at your website, I think almost half of the races are gone, right? Sort of just, you're canceled. There's some still on in later the year. Like, I'm wondering if we're going to see a situation where we get to that, where it's like, all right, it's cross, you know, you're outside, you're not in a 30, 40, 50 person peloton, you know, like, we can do racing. You can do masked racing. Like, also, do you guys think, is there any sort of like reason or want to do any sort of alternative, like cross races, sort of like time trialed or like timed laps, or do you think that's a feasibility in any way? Like alternative, I don't know. Hot laps, fastest lap, eliminator cross?
Based on kind of, you know, what I've heard, I mean, maybe trying to do those kinds of things might be, I'm probably just going to end up getting myself in trouble here again. Like, most of the people I'm hearing from are just taking the L on this season and they're not racing. Yeah. And I think that is like the majority opinion, especially in cyclocross. It's just kind of like, all right, we get it. Like, there's not going to be a season. You know, here in the Midwest, we've seen every series or most of the series have been canceled. And so I don't necessarily see people, you know, like that desire. But, you know, I think we saw with Tour of North Georgia is there are some people for whatever reason need to race their bikes all time this season. And in doing that, take on a big risk. And I guess, you know, I mean, if you look at numbers wise compared to like, say, 300 people that might go to a bar in Florida right now versus, you know, say even like a couple hundred people showing up at a bike race outside. I mean, the science has shown that there is a lower risk of transmission. But for me, it's just kind of like, it's this privilege. It's this hobby in this time of a global pandemic where cases are growing. And I feel like it just kind of reeks of privilege to say, I need to race my bike so bad, especially when, say, Zwift exists. And if you really need to go hard, like you can go race. Like, it's possible.
It's true.
You can go Strava KOM hunting. You know, there's things you can do, and it's been hard on all of us. And I don't know. I think it's, I was having this chat with my dad this weekend, and he's like, well, why don't you go on a group ride? Like, it's super low risk or whatever. And I was like, yeah, you're probably right. Like, yeah, you know, it's outside or whatever. And I'm like, but there's just so much, there's been a lot going on. Like, we've gotten to this, you know, there's been a lot that's happened since March in our community in terms of the discussion and, you know, feelings of privilege. And I especially feel like on this podcast network, that's something we've taken very seriously. And so, you know, for those of us who have those feelings, I was like, it's hard to explain, dude. Like,
a couple things. I mean, directly to what you're saying, Zach, is that, yes, that might be a lower risk activity. I don't know. I'm not going to do it. But what I also see and what I believe just as human nature is that once, you know, it's like once that ice cream's in front of you, you're going to eat it. You know, once you're out there with your friends, even though you're going to say, okay, this is a socially distanced ride, this is like we're just doing this, we're all going to wear a mask, we're all going to be safe, you're going to end up at the beginning or the end of the ride and you're going to be talking to each other and it's all just going to fall apart. And it's like,
right,
because you miss that. I mean, Michael, you were talking about it. Yeah, all of us miss that. We want to see each other at races. We want to go hang out. This is kind of what we do, and it's not going to be possible this season. I just feel like if you're putting yourself in that position that you are going to then, you know, consciously or unconsciously just like find yourself in these risk heightened situations. I just see that happening. And I think it's just easier just to say, you know, binary, you know, let's go with the zero. Let's not even give it the opportunity. And as far as what you're saying with like alternative racing, you know, time trials and cross or, you know, that kind of stuff, how it laps. Personally, it doesn't excite me. It's not something that I would want to do in a competition. I mean, when I did race, the fun for me of racing was that we just, you know, sit there and preach about cyclocross. It was racing with that group. I mean, if I was racing for 10th place, I was racing against the same people from 5th place to 15th place, and I'm racing every weekend. And that's the fun of cyclocross. If you want to do a time trial, I think there are time trials out there. I mean, I think that's something that probably can be done safer than other disciplines. If that's what you get off on, go do a time trial. But I don't think we have to recreate a sport that is based on head-to-head racing and group racing and tactics, and that's what we love about it, and that's what makes it fun, into something that's completely different just to say we race. And again, what you're saying is that, yeah, it completely comes back to that privilege of, oh gosh, I have to race or my, you know, life isn't complete. I mean, that's just crap. You don't have to race. We can all race hopefully next year.
So speaking of next year, what do you guys think the odds of Nats in Chicago happening?
Wait, this fall or next fall 21?
This fall.
Zero. Okay. It can't. Like, I mean, the state of Illinois has, I mean, for the same reasons that, I mean, I could be wrong, but my understanding is the same reason Chi-Cross Cup got canceled is they have, essentially, it's called phase four, which is when you're allowed to do gatherings of more than 50 people. And to get that, the virus has to be under control and or there has to be a widely distributed vaccine. And I don't think that's going to happen. That's my understanding in the state of Illinois.
USAC has a update, like a deadline, I believe, right? It's fairly soon.
July 31st, I believe, is the next next update that we'll know national championship statuses and all that kind of good stuff. With nationals, and not to rehash Twitter beef that may have gone on, but let's do it. This goes with, so Amanda Allman, who's part of the network, did this great job on cxharris.com. go check out her article where she basically got all of her colleagues and emailed all of them and talked to everybody and surveyed them on what they're thinking about the season, what they're thinking about the future, and it's a really informative article worth checking out. One of the things in there that people were trying, I think, sort of thinking out loud, we're trying to figure out is like, okay, if nationals happens, you know, maybe it should happen, but there shouldn't be a jersey online. And you know, that was actually something that Sonny Gilbert, who by the time this comes out, there will be a podcast with her out on this stream. So go check out my conversation with Sonny. We actually didn't even get into this topic, but we can do it here. And because I think both of the people in this have understandable point of views. And to flesh it out, basically she was saying, well, if we're going to have nationals, let's not race for a jersey. And her point was, it's not fair to Clara and it's not fair to Gage to never have the opportunity to race in their national and everybody else, all the amateurs, everybody, U23s, everybody who won a national championship jersey never really got to enjoy that jersey. It just, they will most likely never be able to don it in a race of consequence. So if we're going to have nationals, let's just let them have another year and we'll go from there. That's half the argument. Becca came in and said, well, if that's the point, if that's what we're doing, it's just a party and I'm not racing. Completely respect that as well. It's a good point. I mean, I think it just goes to, let's just not have it. And that's kind of the answer here is that nationals just isn't even fair at this point. If you're not going to have a season, it's not even fair. And it does kind of cheat these people who won in Tacoma of ever being able to enjoy that championship. And I think that they deserve a season of racing in the jersey. So my vote would be like, let's just pass for this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good point. I mean, although, and the thing that I'm looking at is that the races that are, the UCI races that are still on the calendar, and if these promoters, I mean, I don't know what the UCI protocols are, but there are races that are on the calendar, and they're, you know, in Ruts and Guts was the last race I saw that was advertising their registration was opening.
Yeah.
So there are some promoters who at this point are trying to move forward. So like if there is one or two UCI races in the States, like does that sort of like kick off a bunch of things, like in meaning like, oh, now we do actually have to have nationals, or like, I'm just wondering if that, what does that have any sort of effect on the rest of the promoters or the racers, or at some point is the UCI going to be like, no, like actually we're just going to, you know, we're going to, the United States, the case count is too high. Like we're going to, you know, pull all permits. So I'm just wondering if we get to that situation, what's going to happen? And
yeah, I mean, we're in such a funny space with the UCI now because we're already a rogue nation in that they don't want us to have our nationals when we're having it. So that's already a point of contention. They want us back in January. We're not going to do it. So, but the other thing is, and maybe you know this, I don't know. I don't know what the regulations, I don't know if they are, you know, come January or February, if Claire is allowed to wear her national championship jersey. Yeah. It may be done. I don't think that it's like you get to wear it until there's another national championship. I don't know. I don't think any official is going to stop her from wearing it, but I don't know what the protocol is there. It's the same with Pan Ams. Pan Ams has already been canceled. So are these the people who won Pan Am championships just Pan Am champions for next season?
Well, so here's my problem. I think, one, none of us have any faith that the UCI is going to come up with an equitable solution for riders who aren't in Belgium. And I think Becca pointed this out. U.S. riders are going to get absolutely hosed. To me, the simple solution is, I mean, I don't want to put on USA Cycling, but, you know, as someone else pointed out to me, there's one entity that can solve all of these problems. And that's by saying permits are canceled for 2020. We're done. There's no cyclocross racing. And all of this is a moot point. Like, I don't know. I mean, I look at that schedule and it just seems like, I don't know what the story is, but I mean, if we're being honest, most of the major races on the domestic UCI calendar have canceled, you know, and I'm just, it's a little bit surprising that, you know, some of the other races aren't necessarily like following their lead when the Jingle Crosses and the frickin' World Cup and Pan Ams and Cincy and, you know, these races that have been C1s, no offense to DCCX,
None taken.
Okay. You know, like are canceling, and I think it's just going to create a nightmare. So yeah, so you have, let's say you have two races, and you know, they're like, well, and somehow we'll have nationals. I don't know how. I mean, gosh, if they like moved it to a state where they'd be allowed to have it.
Wait,
wow.
Wait, hang on, guys. This is Bill's perfect opportunity for nationals in Europe.
Thank you very much. See, it's finally playing out.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Wow.
Well,
Oh my gosh.
Well, so then we get to the point of like, are we going to have, you know, would we have elite and amateur? I think you're just creating all kinds of health risks by saying athletes, you haven't trained. Now you have to go fly to Ruts and Guts and wherever else. You have to fly to these events if you want to race nationals. By the way, there's a jersey on the line. You kind of, you know, and sponsors are going to be like, well, you need to do it. I think it's just like, Michael, I think you were getting at what are the cascading effects of this, you know, and then there's going to be, you know, there's going to be cries like from amateurs. Well, they're having elite nationals. Why don't we have that? And that would just be a disaster from a public health standpoint to have amateurs flying from across the country to race somewhere. So I don't just cancel it. And I'm waiting. I mean, they've done that for like every other nationals or most of the other nationals this year. So I'm willing to wait until the deadline to see what happens, because I think we've kind of seen that play out with different events like DK, like Sea Otter and stuff. It's like, all right, well, we have this second date that we're going to reconsider. And so I'm kind of willing to give everyone a benefit of the doubt. But I don't know. I mean, all evidence suggests that we're headed towards it being. But then we need to address, what do we do about USAC points, UCI points, jerseys?
Let's talk about that. I mean, that's a good point, right? So there, Rebecca brought that up. You know, if there's no UCI races in the States, you're losing out on all those points come next year or going to Europe. You know, your points roll off the calendar year. And so the UCI, I'm going to pull this up here. They released a statement regarding mountain biking. So mountain biking, they're including 67 weeks as opposed to 52. So your rolling calendar is bigger. But as of now, as of when this came out,
can you read the first sentence of the cyclocross statement, and then we can just go back and talk about how the UCI doesn't give a shit or care about or even know that the United States or North America exists? Since we already talked about how half the schedule has already been canceled. Okay, go on.
Okay. There are no changes needed for the UCI cyclocross ranking, as suspension of competitions did not affect either of the cyclocross seasons.
Right. And so, half of our season, UCI season, has already been canceled, but it evidently, according to Switzerland, it hasn't been. That's the thing. That just goes, that's just more fuel to what Becca's saying. It's like, and it's also, I think, what Bridget Tooley was saying in Amanda's article that, like, and what we've talked about so much is like this. Maybe this is it. Maybe this is the what sparks this. Let's just do cross in the U.S. And obviously, Europe doesn't care about the U.S. So maybe it's time that we just do our own thing. And another thing, and I think we're gonna have another show with Ethan Glading later on. He knows, he's a little better versed in what's going on with Europe, but we also, you know, are at a point where nobody can get to Europe if you're in the U.S. I mean, we have people who are going to Canada, spending some time there, and then trying to get to Europe from there. But for a cyclocross athlete, you aren't in the same position. I think this is what Ethan can talk on. You aren't in the same position as a pro road athlete who has the ability to have the backing of a European team to say, this is an essential, finger quotes, you can't see my finger quotes on audio, worker who needs to be working in Europe. Or even some of the bigger U.S. riders already have European work visas, so they're allowed to enter Europe. Nobody from the U.S. racing cyclocross is in that position. That's just not how the sport works. So they're at a huge disadvantage not being able to race.
Well, and even if they can get there, they have to deal with the, was it the 90-day rule, the Schengen zone rule, which at least, you know, before it was fine because they could do U.S. races, and although there weren't as many C1s, they could still accumulate points. And so you can't even say, well, you know, I think this especially pertains to our women, you know, which Becca got at, like, who want to go. Like, they can't go for a full season.
Yeah. Yeah. I do want to say, because Rob Kelly from No Training Wheels took me to task for implying that Croatia was not part of the EU. So I want to just, like, walk that part back. So the time that you have to leave the EU to break up your 90 days, Croatia would not be the place to go.
Yeah, you just go to England.
Right. Exactly. It's the easiest place.
Well,
now.
So let's say theoretically that the Belgian season happens. Let's say theoretically that a number of our top riders want to go there. Like, what are they going to do? There's not even going to be like local races like Tobin likes to do and break his body or something like that, you know, to do. I mean, that's just another layer, is you're going to have to stay in shape at like race fitness through early December, you know, before you before you're able to head over. So it just seems like that's another layer.
You mean with not having U.S. races?
Sure. Yeah, to get that high intense. I mean, yeah, maybe it's time to do Zwift racing, IDK. But like, I think that's just another layer of, while dealing with the headache that it's inevitably going to be to try to get to Europe. It just, I don't know. It seems like the UCI thing, for especially, you know, again, with having Becca on, the U.S. women that we look at who want to compete at that, you know, who are able to compete at the top 10. I don't envy them. I think it's going to be tough, and it's going to take a lot of like creativity to navigate this.
Yeah, and speaking of Belgium, I just saw this thing on Twitter, and it just came out today. It was saying that all sports have to take place behind closed doors. So, not quite sure what that means. There was a few Twitter accounts talking about there was going to be a statement like on Monday, but just the why it caught my eye was we were talking and you know, Europe seems to be handling the coronavirus a lot better than the States, or not seems, is. So you're seeing sport move forward there. But it's like, you know, as Sonny Gilbert brought up, like, it's not like 100% like that it's still going to be that way, right? And like, there are still risks involved, and, you know, with the travel and the 14-day quarantine. And so, like, it's still a moving target, right? And so, like, the Tour de France is happening in August. The World Tour starts August 1st, this Saturday, Strada Bianchi. Wout Van Aert will be there. Pretty excited for that.
One year anniversary almost of his time trial crash.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Wow. So just the idea that, like, yeah, we're in July now, we're going to see some bike racing happening fairly soon. And so I guess the picture could be changing, and maybe it's not a place that our athletes want to go anyway. I mean, I'm hoping obviously that it is, and that things are under control there and we have something to watch. And, you know, like, it's not just Belgium, right? As you know, like, there's races in Spain and Switzerland, and there's a whole, like, you know, it's pretty big. There's a lot of scenes. So I could see, you know, friend of the pod, friend of the WAP, Drew Giuliano, was talking about trying to get over there as soon as possible. And I know he likes Spain a lot. And so there is, you know, it's interesting. Maybe you could have some athletes who really kind of find their groove there and find, you know, the races that aren't as top tier as, you know, the Flanders, I'm totally blanking on all the series over there right now, but
just called the Belgian races,
right? So you have those top tier, but then you have all those other UCI races. So like, there is a whole other scene, and maybe some riders find their groove and really, yeah, and have a good season. And it's, I don't know, it's really interesting. And I'm just, you know, it is something to look at and to think about. And I don't know. Well, I don't know, guys.
Here's my question. I'll put this to Zach. So, cyclocross,
does it involve masks? Because apparently I'm just like destined to screw that up, like, left and right.
No, it involves the NHL.
Okay, all right, perfect.
Yeah. So the NHL, remember when the NHL had their lockout like years, like over a decade ago. And then they came back and they had no TV contract. And I think they actually gave the TV rights, I believe it was maybe to Fox or ESPN for free. They basically charged nothing for their TV rights. They were like, here's the NHL. We have nothing. We have no bargaining power. You can just have, please put our games on TV, which meant that they made all of their money, and the NHL still works a lot like this, all of their money on putting people into seats at mm-hmm. games. That was how they made their money. I think that a lot of past, like the World Cup, I think a lot of Belgian cyclocross works in that same way. Like, you need gate receipts to survive. So, Michael, if you have that rule that says everything needs to be behind closed doors, I don't think a lot of these races happen because I don't think they can afford to have them. That's my call.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I will jump in to say that even if they, you know, if they were, I think like mandatory mask wearing at those events would be prudent and would be a good idea. And I think that creates another layer because, like, as we know, you drink to the balls at Belgium.
You drink, you smoke, and you eat frites.
And you have DJ Benny in his dance hall, which is just basically 1,000+ people in an enclosed place getting drunk and drinking and dancing with each other and slobbering on each other. And that's kind of the spirit of cyclocross. And, you know, cases in Belgium are not going down. You know, they're going up right now. So that's kind of where we're at. And just the culture, I think it's different in road racing, but I think that in cyclocross, it is so much the culture of the sport and kind of the economic backbone of the sport that I'm not sure how it...
Well, and I think like you're kind of, for me personally, I'm taking a big wait and see approach, and I wanted to chime in on what Michael was talking about. You know, we're already seeing some rumblings of some of the even European teams dropping out of races because they don't feel that the COVID protocols are stringent enough, and you know they're dropping out. So, I mean, in terms of what the cyclocross season will look at, I'm going to be looking really closely at to you know how these races go if they do continue to happen, because it's really been up in the air, right? We've said, oh, we'll try to do this, and then as it gets closer, it gets canceled or whatever. You know, we talked about, I think, in the green room, how the NBA just one day canceled. You know, the NCAA, they were having conference tournament games. They canceled one in the middle, and then a day later, March Madness was canceled. And so it's been really up in the air. So for me, I'll be watching WOW at Strada Bianchi this weekend, but, you know, also to see kind of what happens. And that same approach is, you know, once these races start doing the financials, Bill, and there's no guarantee that fans are going to want to go. To your point, we're seeing that here in the United States. It's like, I'm air quoting, we opened up and people are like, I don't want to go eat inside at a restaurant. And, you know, so even though we've been open, you know, people have been reluctant to do that. So there's no guarantee that you're going to see, I'm guessing these races are already in financial trouble because we've seen attendance just drop. Like that's been a major topic of the media pit and the podcast for a number of years now. So I don't know. I'm in a big wait and see moment or see mode, I think, to see like how these are going to go. You know, yeah, it's on the schedule and it's planned, but is it going to happen? A lot can change.
Yeah, Bill, I think you bring up a good point too, just the difference between road and cross, right? So that cross is, you know, the challenges these have, like where a road race can sort of exist, because I mean, I saw some video footage of the women's races in Spain and it was a climb and there was a lot of people wearing masks and the riders are going up a climb and you're like, okay, like, you know, it wasn't too packed. Like I see how that works, right? The riders go by and that's it. They're not there anymore. And you know, but like with cross, yeah, you are in that concentrated area and you are staying there for, I mean, you know, I don't know how long a European race lasts, but you have the men, the women, the juniors, you know, so like a longer time. So yeah, it is, even if we do see these road races happening, it doesn't necessarily mean that the cross races could happen.
They last all night long. You don't show up until, you know, the men cross the line and then you can even show up then. You're still going going to the party. But here's the other thing about road. I think the one difference between most road races, and again, not to pick on Belgium because it's actually a plus, but you know, I've gone to Flanders. It's amazing. It's like a cyclocross race. You go, yeah. It's an enormous, you know, beer garden. Everybody's there partying. They're on the cobbles. The group goes by and everybody heads across the field and they go to the next climb and they're all scrunched in there and they're watching that one. And then they move to, you know, so you're seeing it multiple times. There's a party on every corner. Flanders really is like the biggest road cyclocross race that there is. I don't think a lot of other, you know, other than the finishes of races, which are really packed in like that, I think that's the one that's, you know, and you get the tour, of course, where people are camping out, but that can be, you know, I don't think that happens as easily because that's something where you have to plan for to go to, you know, Alpe d'Huez to go camp out on it for a week to watch them come up, where for something like Flanders, it truly is like the backyard and everybody's just going out, yeah. Just like in cyclocross, and it's in the neighborhood and they're just partying it up. So that would be a big cultural change there as well. Trivia?
Trivia? Yes. Yes. So I had wanted to start the podcast with trivia, but I like the way this conversation went and this was good. So this is me just, I don't know, just because we're kind of bringing the three of us, the Media Pit, back together. We had a lot of fun with, and actually, Zach, I didn't do any of your cybermetrics questions. Like, I don't have your spreadsheets. I feel like you had like a good tool. I didn't have the time to go and like read through results and make the, God, I'm forgetting. What is it? PPO? No, look out.
What was it? Oh man, it was the OPP, the on podium
percentage. OPP. That was that was the main one. Okay, I didn't do any OPP questions, but all right. So here, we're just gonna play a little trivia.
All right.
I don't know, a few questions. So I have some rules to this. Okay. So in order to answer a question, you need to say your name first.
Buzzing in with our names.
So you are buzzing in with your name.
Never and not then, funny style. I like it.
All right.
Let me get my little Zoom window. Okay. All right. We'll start off with probably an easier one. Who finished number one in the UCI rankings for women?
Can we do the flip cards? I mean, it's one of two people. Can we do like the flip cards? Yep. I feel like it's one of two. That would be my guess.
Whenever you're ready, say your name.
Say Zach Alvarado.
Yes, correct. Yes. All right.
Who was second? Was Worse second? Or was it Brand?
I don't know. Now you're making me. I didn't
okay.
Look good.
Right. Okay. Fair.
No, wait. I got it. Hang on. Worst was second. Six. They had quite the battle. If we remember, sort of review of last year, they were going back and forth.
Can I tell you that? I've gone back and like watched. I was actually thinking of a video to make. I don't think I appreciated enough Alvarado's season and just the build through it is just astounding. I mean, just the poise and confidence that she gained over that season is just like insane.
So many lessons learned, right? Like we saw mistakes made and then weeks later those mistakes were not made and she was winning races. Yeah, I mean,
there was like, for I was just watching I forget which race it was, but it was when her pit crew like fell on her bike. Do you remember this? and crushed it to like she got up and she pulled the like new bike out of the mud that the dude had fallen on top of, and she's about to get on. And like the handlebars are at a 45 degree angle. So she's like in front, like straightening up, not yelling, not getting upset. You know, Worst actually catches back up to her like a lap later, and probably because that helped close the gap. But just like super cool. And I'm like, man, that's a champ.
She's a champ. All right. Question number two. Zach has 1 point. Bill has zero. All right. Question number two. Who finished at number two in the UCI rankings for men?
Bill.
Bill.
Ailey Easerbeat.
Zach Tonarts.
Yes, correct, Zach.
I'm going to get 0 points in this game.
All right, so this is a sidebar question, worth half a point. Who was a top-ranked North American man?
Zach Curtis White.
Correct. All right, extra bonus question. Top-ranked North American female.
Zach Rochette.
Yes. Zach, we next time we get together, we should go play trivia. I feel like you're a quiz master.
I'm just shooting for one.
You're getting walloped here, Bill.
I am.
It's like 3-0.
I like the music, all right, not the lyrics.
Yeah, speaking of music, you're going to add a little game show like background to this, all right?
I can do it. Sure.
It's the Media Pit Quiz Corner. All right, question number three. In the Tonarts and Ailey Easerbeat head-to-head for 19-20, who came out on top? Who won the most in the head-to-head?
Bill. Easerbeat.
Yes. Easerbeat 18-14. Ooh. All right, Bill, on the board. Big man with a bank shot.
Bill's in the game. All right.
All right, this is a side note bonus question. In the Great Sauces Easer Beef head-to-head, that would be Easer Beat and Lawrence, who came out on top?
I mean, Zach Easer Beat.
Yes, correct, Zach.
I thought the tougher question would have been, like, how many races did it, like, Sweck actually beat him in?
Well, the most tough question is Sweck Elite.
He beat him in the one that counts.
That's is true,
right? Where do we land at the end of the season? Did we land that he's elite?
I wrote that, like, big, long story, and I think, like, the answer was, like, IDK.
Yeah.
It was, like, a shruggy emoji, like, my favorite, the shruggy.
I think where we landed most emphatically up until current time is that Barstool Sports is trash.
No doubt. All right. Question four. Who finished third in the Elite Women's World Championships?
Zach Brand.
Yes, correct. We had that great duel between Wurst and Alvarado. And Lucinda just couldn't, you know.
They waited for her, right?
They waited for her. It was a group ride. It was controversial at the time.
All right, so question number five. I think Zach has four.
I can't win.
Bill's got one. Yeah. Who finished second at the Elite Men's World Championships?
Second, Bill Pidcock.
Yes, nice. Correct.
Nice.
All right.
All right.
That has been the Media Pit Trivia Corner. Getting everybody thinking about Eurocross again, if it happens. And quite a season we had last year. And Zach, yeah, you brought up that article you wrote about Swick and our OPP numbers. We did some good stuff last year. I was thinking about that. I was kind of thinking about what we covered. And I was like, those is pretty cool. I hope that we be able to bring the cyclocross metrics back.
No, thing. I need it, man. Like, I can't write. I've sat down to, like, I've had some ideas to try to write. I'm just not feeling it. I need cyclocross to get back in the groove. It's been really hard, you know, especially given that I think a lot of the stuff that has been going on across disciplines has been much heavier and has been, like, you know, real societal issues and stuff, as opposed to, like, you know, Wout being good for cross or the Easer Beef or whatever it might be. And so, you know, I don't know, maybe that's on me for not sitting down to write those, but I know it's been hard. And, you know, it was a good season. There was some fun stuff. I thought there was some fun stuff last year.
I think part of what I like about the people who are a part of this network and kind of what we've put together here is that we have, I mean, this is a business, but at the same point, same time, we have the luxury of kind of being real people in this. And part of that is like, yeah, for the last couple months doing this, I love hanging out with you all. I love it when we get the opportunity to talk, but it's like, it's just not motivating because we're not there. And it's a huge part of my life. I mean, it's my career here that is like, you know, part of covering cyclocross, and we can't do it, and it stinks. And I'm the same way, Zach. It's like I've had these like video ideas and all this other stuff that I was like, oh, that'd be a pretty good idea. And I sit down there to actually try to do it, and I'm like, I just don't have the drive to do it. It's just like it seems like it's unimportant at this point. So my dream is that we get to the point where, you know, we can enjoy cyclocross, we can enjoy hanging out together, you know. But I think there are a lot of, as we said in the beginning, a lot more important things that we need to be concerned with now.
Yeah, I think that's sort of what I've kind of, you know, trying to think about this is like, and where is the balance, right? It's always about what the balance is in your life, and paying respect to both of those things, right? Because someone pointed out, like, going on, like you wake up in the morning, you open your phone, you go on Twitter, and this is a new term that I've read, is the doom scroll, right? You do the doom scrolling, right? And it's like, and it's a way, like, it is a way to educate. You get the news, you know, you kind of get updated on what's happening. But like, at some point, like, there's like, okay, like, you can do that for 15 minutes, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, right? But like, there are other things in your life that need attention too. And like, you've got to take care of yourself. And maybe if taking an hour out of our evening and the hour before where I prep trivia questions is like, it's okay. Like, I'm giving myself permission to like, to enjoy that. And like, that's something that I need to do to feel good, to think about sport in this moment. And then, you know, and I'm refreshed, and then I can go and see what's happening in my city. And, you know, like, what can I do to stop the evictions? And like, let's support the renters and like all these other issues I want to take part in. So it's like, there is that balance. And, you know, I feel like you could insert like some Adam Meyerson quote here about like, you know, it's just stupid bikes, but sometimes it's everything, you know. So, right, like, yeah, I think we're all kind of like hitting that that same bush, that, you know, it's a balance. And like I said, I'm glad to be back with you three. You know, we've had some guests and I did some listening, but it's been nice to have this conversation tonight. So hopefully folks enjoy it and, you know, get a little bit out of it. And yeah.
Anyway. I'll throw this out as a content idea, something we've been talking about, and maybe folks who are listening, if it's something of interest. So someone asked me, they were just like, hey, what's cyclocross, right? And I admittedly, Bill, I went and looked through your videos. I think the one that came to mind was the single speed race from Nats in Louisville. But, you know, I was like, oh, there were two races that were really, I think, kind of highlighted what cross can look like in the U.S., and that was Jingle Cross and Waterloo last year, right? One was dry and fast and very tactical on the women's side, especially, and even the men's side. And then there was Waterloo, which was a shit show. And so actually I went back and watched the entirety of the women's Jingle Cross race. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, this was a banger. Like, and there were so many subplots, right, that were going on, especially with Clara winning nationals. And I was like, you know, that was her coming out moment. That was really the moment when we said, yeah, because Bill and I think we kind of said it after Rochester, but we were like,
pretty wait sure a second. I called it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was like, wow. So, you know, the whole idea of like maybe going back and every other week or something, finding a good race from the last few years and kind of like doing our rewatchables, yeah, and talking, you know, yeah, like the subplots.
Rewatchables.
And yeah. And it could be a way to fill, especially if we have confidence that Eurocross is going to happen, it could be a way to fill September and October of like grabbing some of those interesting races from the last few years, you know. If there's interest, let us know. Yeah.
That jingle one is, I was thinking about that too, because it's like, you know, you mentioned Clara, and of course Clara's had success at all levels and a success at the elite level before that. But, you know, being second place in, or was she second or third? Third third place at Jingle, you know, on her first UCI podium. It's a whole different world. And even, you know, she even mentioned it. She was up there and she's kind of like watching Katarina and watching Magaly and seeing what they're doing like up there. Like they're like Magaly's like giving away all her stuff and like and Claire's like, am I supposed to be giving away my stuff too? What am I what's going, you know? And it was like so new to her, and then to win the national, it's like such a evolution just for her through that season. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. And I mean, I like the classic, I think that was really kind of the relationship between Magaly and Katarina, I would say that was the changing of the guard. That's when Magaly finally beat Katarina at Jingle Cross, you know, to kind of not take the throne, but like they've had a very long relationship. That's when Bronny finally beats LeBron kind of thing, right? When the kid beats the dad.
Right, but even like just
the next week the dad comes back.
Exactly. That's what I was gonna say. That's what makes the story even greater is that then, you know, Katarina the next week is like, hey, I still got something here, and wins in Waterloo. And I think I'm just sort of like smiling, thinking about all this. And I think that despite what I may have said 5 minutes ago, I think that you're right, Michael, and that we should allow ourselves to enjoy moments like that and give ourselves permission. And my one tip for what you mentioned about picking up your phone first thing in the morning and doing the doom scroll is something that I just became aware of too, and just about cortisol levels being much higher, and that's the stress hormone right when you wake up. So if you wake up and then pick up your phone and then see all of the horrible things that might be happening in the world, my suggestion would be wait an hour or so, get that coffee in, get through your morning a little bit, and I think you're not like starting the day with why am I even getting out of bed. Because part of it is actually a chemical response just that your body's going through when you wake up. Science.
Man, so we're getting some science here too on the Media Pit. multi, you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah, Michael, thank you for being the force and getting this together.
I was like, no, I want to talk. I haven't had a chance.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I would say too, to anyone listening, like definitely holler at us on Twitter, call the hotline or whatever. I mean, I like, this is our community, that we're a part of, and we're obviously not like the be all and end all in terms of opinions and stuff. And so I'm interested to hear where people are at and what we think is going to happen and how we're going to get through this.
Together. Go read Amanda Nauman's article on CX Hairs, because it's really great. It's in-depth. She speaks to a large cross-section of the cross scene, from the riders, juniors, to the team directors. And it's really informative, and it's just good to see where folks are at.
Yeah, and check out everything else on the network, on the Wide Angle. You can go to wideanglepodium.com. Zach is pulling like triple duty here. He's got, already one great new episode with Leah Davison of Radio Zwift that is posted up in the parts bin. I believe, from what I've seen, you got some other cool stuff coming up too.
Yeah, there could be as many as two more depending on when this is posted. So yeah, check it out. It's really interesting. I mean, Kevin Bouchard Hall is one of us. He's a cyclocross racer as well. Mike Swart, the other co-host. Like, these guys are really passionate about Zwift racing, and it really comes across in how excited they are about the project. And I'm just there. Bill, I feel like you on Grodio. I'm like the curious.
But the other thing is that much like with my Grodio experience, which is another show that you guys should check out, is that with the Radio Zwift, I mean, I'm on there. I'm doing my workouts on Zwift, but I love it. It's not something that I've done some races, but I'm not like, you know, like Kevin, where I'm racing six times a day yet. I think that the conversation is pretty awesome. Leah was amazing on there.
Leah was fantastic. I'm a fan now. Like, and Bill, you obviously know about her. You're a mountain biker. I didn't see her Instagram handle. Listen to the podcast. Boom, fan.
She's
great.
She's instant positive energy. I mean, just like,
yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. And also, we're trying to do more over on the Wide Angle Podium YouTube page, I think, in the next in the coming months. There's going to be a lot going on there, so please tune in and subscribe to that as well. Michael, Zach, it's been good. Thank you.
It's been great.
Sounds good.
As you know, materials in cyclocross are very important. What do you think, Mr. Sven Nys?
It's very important to have the good material when it's frozen, when it's dry, when it's summer, when it's wet. The tires are very important. It's all about technique. It's all about the good material.
So we brought the Bike Shop Show back with a cyclocross focus. Same great format, new name, Bike Shop CX. Give it a listen. I think you'll dig it. Each week, Mr. David Palin and I talk about things that go on at our bike shop. We talk about things that go on in the pro cyclocross pit at all the big races around the country. Sometimes we have industry-leading guests on the show. Sometimes it's just the two of us yapping. If you're at all interested in cyclocross, I think you'll like it. The bike shop is open.